All right, so we're going to be in Jeremiah chapter 28. And primarily, if you recall, when we were in 27, there was a calling of God from Jeremiah to go to the nations around Judah, letting them know that they were going to be put into bondage. And he was told to wear a yoke about him, or several yokes about his neck, to symbolize the fact that these nations were going to go into bondage. And he was to give a yoke to each messenger that came to see Zedekiah. And we talked about the fact that Zedekiah was trying to create some kind of an alliance with a lot of these nations to try to fend off Babylon in case of another attack. And that really didn't work out for them. But I guess the idea there is that when we completed that chapter, it pretty much was that Zedekiah was the king of Judah, but as opposed to trusting in God, he trusted in his own wisdom and the wisdom of man as he tried to form his own allegiance and defeat the enemy. I'm sure if they would have turned to God, things would have been different. So now, as we get into chapter 28, we're going to be introduced to another man. His name is Hananiah. And in verse 1, it says, "It came to pass the same year." So this is at the same time that Jeremiah went to the nations and to Zedekiah the king to let them know that they were going to go into bondage with the yokes. And in that same year, in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year, and you'll see if you go back to chapter 27, that's pretty much identical to what we read at the beginning of that chapter. In the fifth month, that Hananiah, the son of Azur, the prophet, which was of Gibeon, spake unto me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priests and of the people, saying... And then, you know, he'll go on, but want to stop first and just introduce this guy. So this guy, Hananiah, he's said to be the son of Azur, the prophet. And he was out of Gibeon. And if you remember, when we talked about Jeremiah, when we were first introduced to him in chapter 1, we understood that Jeremiah came from a town called Anathoth, and that was a town... known for priests, and his family lineage was one of priests. So Gibeon happens to be a town that's a little west and slightly north of Anathoth, but they're very close to each other. Also in the tribe of Benjamin, that territory. So a lot of these folks were people that were called by God to be able to serve in the temple. So he too was of a reign of priests. And it says his father was a prophet. So it would seem like he had a very good set of credentials, just like Jeremiah. So he comes into the town. And we see that in the last part of that verse, it says that he spake unto me, being Jeremiah, in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priests and all the people. So remember, Jeremiah came into the temple area and he was preaching to the people, the priests and the prophets, the false prophets, and gave the statement about them going into bondage. So apparently Hananiah hears this, and Hananiah then comes up to Jeremiah and very boldly begins to discredit him. And we'll see that in the verses 2-4. So it says, so this is what Hananiah is saying. "Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 full years will I bring again into this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried them to Babylon. And I will bring again to this place Jeconiah, who was the king at the time, and the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah that went into Babylon, saith the Lord. For I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. So we see that, you know, he claims to be speaking in the name of the Lord. And, you know, that kind of puts the people in a difficult situation. Because now you have two guys who have a background where they appear to have come from a lineage of priests. And both are coming to them saying, thus saith the Lord, or the Lord hath said, right? And the people have to now listen to what Jeremiah said and listen to what Hananiah said. And they have to try to make a decision, who's telling us the truth. So what we have to do is we first have to look at it and say, well, you know, are they preaching the same thing? And there's a, I guess what we would call a little half-truth going on here. Because Hananiah, he can't say that, you know, prior to this where the false prophets were preaching peace and safety, he can't preach that anymore because they've already been invaded twice. So he kind of changes the tone a little bit, and he says, yeah, the, you know, people went into captivity, but within 2 years, they're all going to come back. You know, I look at him as being kind of one of these people who twists God's word a little bit to try to make it sound good to the people. So you can imagine the people are going to be much happier to hear that than hear what Jeremiah just said about how you're going to be wearing this yoke of bondage for the king of Babylon, and that pretty much he told them in chapter 27, you have to surrender to him and live, or you're going to face famine, pestilence, the sword, and all kinds of other stuff. So, you know, human nature is that if someone's going to tell you something, and they tell you something that's leaning to be more beneficial to you, as opposed to the guy that's leaning to tell all kinds of bad stuff, who are you going to believe, right? Well, you can't trust human wisdom like that. It's problematic. But, you know, Jeremiah, he didn't say, well, okay, let's put it this way. He did tell them that there was the people were going to go into captivity. That was the whole idea of the yoke of bondage. But he never said that they were going to be returning in 2 years. And in actuality, if you look at chapter 27, verse 22, Jeremiah actually says that they shall be carried to Babylon, and there shall they be until the day that I visit them, saith the Lord. Then will I bring them up and restore them to this place. So you can see there, they're both saying that the people are going to return, and they were both saying that they were going to be in captivity, but Hananiah is adding this piece about the 2 years, right? So, you know, thus saith the Lord, right? You can eat of the fruit. Oh, I'm sorry. You aren't to eat of the fruit, and you aren't to touch the fruit, right? So they add a little bit to the truth and kind of make it sound better, right? But that's not what God's word said. So what God tells the people, or God has already told the people, is that they have to try the prophets, right? So in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18, we have, you know, God's test. God tells them, you know, don't trust man openly, trust what I'm about to tell you. And in verses 18 to 22 of chapter 18 of Deuteronomy, the Lord says, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. Now that's difficult because they're both saying that they're speaking in the name of God, right? But, verse 20, the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is a thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet that hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. Now it's important for us to understand. He says in verse 20, if he says that he's speaking in the name of other gods, if the prophet shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or he speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. So God makes it clear. You have to test what he's saying. If the thing does not come to pass, then you know he's not my prophet. But if he's speaking a lie unto you in my name, then he will die. Now, that's going to be important that we maintain those two things as we go on. So what happens is, you know, Jeremiah tells them, you're going to go into captivity. He doesn't put any time frame on it. And ultimately, when we get into the next chapter, we're going to see Jeremiah's prophecy is actually that they're going to be in captivity for 70 years. That's a whole lot different than two. So then in verse 5 of Jeremiah chapter 28, it says, then the prophet Jeremiah said unto the prophet Hananiah, in the presence of the priests and in the presence of all the people that stood in the house of the Lord. Jeremiah doesn't back down. He doesn't make a confrontation with Hananiah. He comes back to him and he makes a statement to him that, you know, the Lord has told him. And that statement is in verse 6. He says, even the prophet Jeremiah said, amen, the Lord do so. The Lord perform thy words which thou hast prophesied to bring again the vessels of the Lord's house and all that is carried away captive from Babylon to this place. So Jeremiah, in a very interesting manner, he says, I would love for that to happen. That would be great. So if, you know, you're speaking on behalf of God, then wonderful. I'd be happy to see that your prophecy comes true as opposed to his, right? Now, that sounds like he kind of gives in, but that's not really the case. What he's doing is he's leaving it to the Lord. So he says, I would love to see that happen, but we'll see, is basically what it comes down to. It's going to be the test that God says, you know, which one is going to come to pass, right? So he leaves off talking to Hananiah. Where was that? Oh, okay. Not yet. It's coming. But, all right. So, we'll continue. Verses 7 to 8. He says, nevertheless, hear thou now this word that I speak in thine ears and in the ears of all the people. The prophets that have been before me and before thee of old prophesied both against many countries and against great kingdoms of war and of evil and of pestilence. So what he does is he kind of broadens the view. Hananiah is basically attacking Jeremiah because, you know, he specifically is talking about the yoke, right, that's going to be broken, which was what Jeremiah was preaching. But Jeremiah says, wait a minute. I really wish what you said would come true. But remember, many other prophets have come also. And when you look at the prophets that have come to Israel and Judah, I mean, you basically have, you have pretty much all of them. But, Isaiah, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah. What do you see when you hear what they're saying? Are they preaching the goodness that's going to be coming in a short time? Or are they preaching like Jeremiah that, you need to repent and judgment is on the horizon if you don't? Well, all of those that came in the name of the Lord prior to Jeremiah, and even at the same time as Jeremiah, because we had a couple that were prophesying at the same period that Jeremiah was prophesying, we were all preaching the same thing. So, when you look at it, then what he's doing is he's trying to get the people to think, six guys have come to Israel preaching exactly what I'm preaching. This guy is preaching something different. Now, who are you going to believe? So, did six people over the course of, I think, roughly just over a century, when you go back from Isaiah on to now, over the course, it was like 120 years, preaching to Israel in the northern kingdom, preaching to Judah in the southern kingdom, what was going to be happening, the judgment that was coming. And he says, you've seen it. The two incursions have happened, just like they said you were going to have. And now this guy's preaching something different. So do you believe those that have already shown themselves to be truthful in spreading God's word? Or do you believe this guy who is telling you something that your ears want to hear? So it's not a direct attack against Hananiah. It's kind of an end-around attack to Hananiah. So in verse 9, he says, the prophet which prophesieth of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord hath truly sent him. So he's letting them know. Anybody that's prophesying peace, if the peace come to pass, then you'll know that he is God's prophet. But if it doesn't, that's kind of like the if. But he's not using Hananiah's name, whereas, Hananiah is pretty bold and direct against Jeremiah. He just says the prophet that prophesieth of peace. So, the reason for that is because they don't just have Hananiah telling them this, but they have other false prophets that are also telling them that things are going to be fine. And he's letting them know, it doesn't matter. You are hearing Hananiah right now, but the problem isn't Hananiah. The problem is all the prophets that are prophesying lies that you need to be aware of. And then verses 10 and 11, it says, then Hananiah the prophet, he didn't take that message very well, took the yoke from off the prophet Jeremiah's neck and break it. And Hananiah spake in the presence of all the people, saying, thus saith the Lord, even so will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all nations within the space of 2 full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way. So Jeremiah had spoken. He had told the people, what else can he tell them, right? You have to make a decision who you're going to follow. Do you follow the prophet who tells you the truth, where some of that has already come to pass, or do you follow the prophet who's telling you these good things, right? So he doesn't want to get into an altercation with Hananiah. So he leaves Hananiah. He just walks away. That's kind of a tricky situation because, when you're standing up for God, you feel like you need to fight for the Lord. But you don't need to fight for the Lord. God can fight his own battles. So what Jeremiah does is he says, okay, Hananiah, well, I'm leaving now. And, you know, he just kind of leaves that hanging in the air for all the priests and the people to now have to mull over. But God isn't done with Jeremiah yet, because when we get to verses 12 to 14, it says, "Then the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the prophet, after that Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from off the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, Go and tell Hananiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Thou hast broken the yokes of wood, but thou shalt make for them yokes of iron. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron upon the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him. And I have given him the beasts of the field also." So there's a confirmation coming, right? The Lord says, I don't want you to just let it hang there. I want you to go back and talk to Hananiah. Now, we don't see whether this discussion that happens is in front of the priests and all the people. The Lord just says to go back and talk to Hananiah. So it almost gives the impression that that discussion happened after the fact. He didn't just like turn around and go back into the temple. I'm not 100% sure of that, but we don't see that, you know, everybody else was present at the time. So he has a message specifically for Hananiah, and I think that message is private. It is what the Lord wanted him to tell him. But he says the wooden yokes that Hananiah broke, which were so easy to break, will now be replaced with yokes of iron. And that pretty much means that, you know, if you had a yoke of wood, consider the fact that Hananiah was able to just break it, right? So there was the potential that you could see that the bondage could end, right? Well, when you have a yoke of iron, you don't have the possibility of breaking that. And when you compare the weight of wood to the weight of iron, and the yoke of wood that he was supposed to make with bonds, which were primarily like ropes or twine that was weaved, as opposed to iron chains, you get the understanding that this is going to be a much more severe situation now. It's wearing a yoke of iron is much heavier than a yoke of wood. And the Lord tells him he's going to also give him the beasts of the field. Now, that seems to be kind of an odd statement. But in essence, what you're really looking at, he's basically saying that your cattle, the things that, you know, provided you, you know, skins and meat and milk, those things were all going to be removed. They're going to be taken away, and the king of Babylon is going to have them. Now, symbolically, your cattle, the things that you have, were also something that would let people know that you had wealth. So people who only had one or two oxen were a lot poorer than people who had a barn full of oxen and sheep and, you know, donkeys and cows and whatever, right? So it kind of extends even beyond just the fact that, you know, it's just the cattle. It's going to be anything of any value to you. All the material stuff that you held precious is going to be removed. So it's not going to be a thing where Hananiah is saying, oh, you can deal with it for 2 years. 2 years will go by like nothing, right? I mean, you look at today, I don't know, the months, the days, the years, they just are flying by. And, you know, if you knew 2 years, everything would be fine, then you would say, okay, I can hold out for 2 years. But, you know, when you're saying, but you're going to be in bondage in chains of iron, then that doesn't kind of give you the two-year implication. And He goes on in verse 15 and he says, "Then said the prophet Jeremiah unto Hananiah the prophet, Hear now, Hananiah, the Lord hath not sent thee, but thou makest this people to trust in a lie." Now, why would he say that? We understand, I mean, the Lord's already said, prophets that are presumptuously speaking in my name are lying, right? So it's not something where you wouldn't know, right? I mean, we've been reading along the way here that there are false prophets lying to the people, peace and safety, right? But see, when God is about to judge somebody, God always makes it clear. We keep saying that over and over and over again. He doesn't judge unless he lets you know what it is you're being judged for. So God tells Jeremiah to tell Hananiah, you have lied to the people and they've put their trust in your lie. See, it's not bad enough that you lied, but what that means is you've turned the people away from God. So the truth of God, let's put it that way. So they still think they're doing what God said, but the fact is Hananiah lied about what God's word was, and the people are following the lie. So what does that mean? Hananiah is responsible for taking people and turning them against God, basically, is what it amounts to. So God is holding Hananiah to a standard that is much higher than just, you know, any common person on the street. He's claiming to be a prophet speaking on behalf of God, and he's claiming to be speaking a message different than Jeremiah that the people would be happy to hear. But God tells Jeremiah, you need to call him out on that. You need to let him know he's lying to the people. I know he's lying to the people. When you lie and God calls you out on it, it's bad. So then in verses 16 to 17, it says, Therefore, thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will cast thee from off the face of the earth. This year thou shalt die, because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the seventh month. Now, remember, I said you had to remember when we were reading Deuteronomy that the Lord said that if the thing that he prophesies does not come to pass, or he prophesy in the name of other gods, he shall die. So, you see, God doesn't lie. God gave his word for a reason. And what he's doing is he's keeping his word. So the prophet prophesied falsely, and God says, I have to kill him. That's what my word says. God doesn't have a choice. This was the law that he laid down. So he has to call him out. And he says, he will die this year. Now, you know, that's pretty open-ended, right? I mean, it's not great when you're the guy that hears that, because now you have a prophet telling you, God tells me you're going to die somewhere in the next year. Now, imagine that you're Hananiah, and you have to know that you're lying to the people, because God didn't come and talk to you. So, you know, God doesn't come and tell somebody one thing and then go and tell somebody else something different. The message that God uses is the same, no matter who it is, across the ages. So Hananiah now knows God's calling him out on his lie. He knows he's going to die somewhere in the next year. So think of how that changes your life. I mean, one, you would think the first thing you would do would repent and come to the Lord and say, you know, I've turned away from you and I'm sorry, right? But that's not what happens. So he goes, well, we say he goes on with his life, but can you imagine that, you know, you would be afraid to, like, leave your house, right? You don't know what's going to happen. You know, in our day, we would say, I could get hit by a car, or, you know, something could I could come in contact with something and get a bad disease or something and end up dying from that, right? So you end up living your life in fear. And, you know, God, I almost look at it, that's almost a judgment in itself, right? Where God can tell you that, and then you don't know what to expect and when to expect it. But it turns out that God tells him, or God did kill him, and it says he died in the same year, which is important because that means God did exactly what he said he was going to do, in the seventh month. Now, if you remember when we started chapter 28, it said that all of this began in the fourth year of Zedekiah's reign and in the fifth month. So God didn't wait very long. He killed him within 2 months of this happening. Now, you can look at that and you can say, oh, that's so sad. Or you can look at it and say, that really is a merciful thing for God to do. Can you imagine if God had him wait 359 days? The guy would have been a wreck. He'd have probably had a heart attack. He would have gone crazy, I'm sure. Because, you know, as you get closer to the end of that year, you know your time is shorter and shorter and shorter. But God took him 2 months later. So I guess you would say he stewed for 2 months, but God was merciful enough to take him out of here in that time. Now, why is that important? Because then it becomes a truth to the people that he had lied to, that the prophet that lied would die. So Jeremiah is still standing. He's there. And Hananiah is now gone. So within 2 months, your answer came. Who are you going to believe? And I think that it's really a wonderful thing that, we talk often about how God is so specific that pretend, I guess, to think that God is just generically speaking in broad terms. When he says that you're going to die within the year, and you die within the year, then he kept his word. He did exactly what he said. And, you know, we were talking when we were in chapter 27 of the things that God said that were going to come to pass, and they did, and exactly how God said they were going to come to pass and when they were going to come to pass. So, you know, people that look at God's word and think, well, you know, it's just man's words put down in a book. You can't believe that because, I mean, historical record, if you look at historical record of the lives of these people, then you see that they confirm God's word. And anywhere where there's doubt, you know, we keep seeing these things on the news where they're turning up ruins, where all of a sudden, oh, now they did find a town that was called whatever that the Bible talked about, but nobody knew that it ever existed today. So, you know, who's right? It's God and his word. So, you know, when you seek to put your faith and trust in something, don't put it in man, put it in the truth of God's word. And that's really the bottom line of this whole chapter.